I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the pale the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets regular amongst birds singing out, yeah.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it is 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Let's head down to Corpus Christi, see what's going on with Captain Cliff Webb, the water man. What's up, Cliff?
Oh, good, man. Before I get started, I've been missing that Fantasy Slam. I've been hearing about it. So tell me about the Fantasy Slam. I got to hear what Cameron caught, man. So tell me what it involved.
Well, him and his crew, you know, on SEMA were out there fishing, you know, getting ready for the TIFF tournament.
Right.
You know, because they were kind of looking for what to fish for and that, and then they were going to go on down the coast, take the boat down there a day later. But anyway, long story short, I think they had a blue marlin, a white marlin, and then I think four sailfish or what have you. And then they get this, what they thought was a baby blue marlin in the baits. And it turned out it ended up being a needlefish, which is, you know, another species of billfish, which is real rare, especially in the Gulf. And they catch it. Well, then they get to thinking, hey, man, you know, if we can get a swordfish, we'll have this fantasy slam. And I think one of Cameron's buddies told him, you know, you're out here in the area, you know, close to where I've got a swordfish spot, you know, a contour. And Cameron went over there and fished it on, I think on the second drop, they caught a swordfish, a good one, about 120 pounds. And that gave them the fantasy slam.
That's pretty incredible.
I think they were telling me there's only been three ever caught in the world, you know, on the whole globe.
Man, that is unbelievable.
Never in the Gulf. And they did it. I mean, that's just, that little guy just, I mean, well, he's been part of three Gulf records now. The record blue marlin, record bluefin tuna, and then now the fantasy slam. That's, you know, it's one thing to be lucky, but you don't get lucky that many times.
No, you're not lucky there, but with that skill.
He knows what he's doing, and I've known him since he was
a pop.
Little baby, man. I remember when James and Carol first had Cameron, little old booger, and just he's fishing on the brain. Well, you know, fruit never falls far from the tree. And,
yeah, that's a good bloodline right there, buddy.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's good stuff. I was just hearing the bits and pieces of it. I kind of didn't get the first part of what he called. I kept hearing about the fantasy slam. The first thing I had to ask, I had to know what the fantasy slam was. And the needlefish is a type of billfish. Tell me about that needlefish thing. I'm not familiar.
Man, I don't know anything about them either. I mean, it's I looked on my saltwater records, and I don't even see one. Well, maybe there is one. Let me look again.
Yeah,
double check. My memory's terrible. Yeah, we have. There's one record on the books in the Gulf of Mexico, a flat needlefish. They have an Atlantic needlefish and a flat needlefish. It's No, that's not it. What was that fish called? Man, I'm totally blowing it.
Yeah, Plagano or something. Because we catch those with Chicano, we caught these big needle fish, but they call them chilies. They're just giant, like giant needle gar. They're like six, 8 foot long.
It's a spearfish is what it is. Spearfish.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, spearfish.
Yeah, here's Plog's text coming in now, spearfish. I don't know why I keep saying needlefish.
Okay, spearfish.
But it's a spearfish, and to do that is just, you know, it's just pretty much crazy.
Oh, that is nuts. Man, God, Cameron's got to be on cloud nine. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, there's a short bill and a long bill is what I was trying to spit out. And we show one on here, a 60-pounder. It was 86 and a half inches long, long bill spearfish.
Man, that's crazy. That many species in one day. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Billfish.
And to get a swordfish, like what?
Yeah.
Drop down and get a swordfish. Yeah, that's you're having a good day. I think I go home and buy a couple of lottery tickets when I got in. You know. Oh, that's good stuff. Well, congratulations, Cameron. That is bad to the bone, dude. Man, that's
James just texted me it was an Atlantic longbill. Spearfish.
Atlantic longbill.
Yeah.
Spearfish. I'm going to look that up, get a picture. I got to see a picture of that thing. But
yeah.
Anyhow,
well,
that's
why they thought it was a small blue marlin in the bait, you know, coming up, because that's what it looked like.
God, that's crazy, man. Yeah, I saw that picture of a Sharky swordfish. Those are prehistoric looking. Look at the bill on that thing. Man, I get excited because I see a lot of inshore fish every day and all that, but every once in a while I like to look at that offshore stuff and reminds me of the day that I fished El Chicano. But
That's a whole different world out there than what we're used to, you know.
Yes, sir, it is, man. And I've had one, you know, grand slam in Baffin Bay. I had a snook, a big trout, a red, and a flounder in one day. And that was pretty much the bay slam, you know. That's the once in a lifetime here. But our fish has been good, man. It's just been
unbelievable. We get a lot of trash can slams in Galveston Bay.
Trash can slams, buddy. I've had those.
Just kidding. No, we do get the slam thing working at times, but man, you've been on some good fish. That wind laying down is a game changer, isn't it? You're able to
do what
I like to do in the summertime, man. I mean, we all love to wade fish, but hey, when you can target big fish out of the boat in the heat of the summer, I tell you, it don't get much better than that if you know what you're doing and you know how to run a trolling motor.
You saw that fish for August 1st, 30-inch trout on August
1st. 30-inch trout on August 1st. How about that, Bubba?
And it's so cool because we first snapped him on the Boga. He was jumping around. He was right at 9, and then finally settled down. He's over 8. But that's a big fish for this time of year. But
well, the weight on that fish was so broad and healthy for August. I think one of the longest trout I ever caught was in Baffin, waiting over around Cathead one year. No, I was on the tide gauge bar, and it was a 7-12. It was so skinny, it had, speaking of needlefish, there you go. You know,
yeah, yeah, they get like that.
Oh,
and you'll
man,
catch one like that, then you'll
ugly.
Catch one, you know, then, you know, so I start out of my week on Monday, and so Monday I've been wanting to take my friends fishing for a long time. I've just been too busy this summer, and Greg and Bob and Steve, all my good friends, they do a lot up for me, so I want to take them fishing on a good trip, you know, and so I got Bob, the guy that fishes the jetties all the time with the tarpon and snook, the guy that just walks up and down the jetties. He's one of my favorite fishermen. Mm-hmm. So I get to take him with me with his fly rod. So he's going to sight cast a big trout with a fly on Monday. And so we leave the dock. We leave the dock at 5 a.m. I mean, we run, almost to Mansfield before it got light. And we were down there. We were serious going to get a big trout, you know. So, and we pile down there, you know, and the first place I pulled in, I haven't been running that far. I just been waiting because all my records show that the first, last week of July and the first week of August, these big trout are going to be up on the sandbar. They're going to be up on the sand, and we're going to side cast these monsters with a fly rod, and we're going to catch them.
Right.
It looked good on paper, you know, when we got down there, and I had to come back up 20 miles to find the big trout, but I found them. But the first place was like, let the air out of the balloon. I mean, I've been waiting all year to get in here, and there was no bait, no fish. The tide had fell out, and it'd fall out too much off that bar, and the fish weren't up there.
You knew when you pulled in it wasn't going to happen.
Oh, I did. I just knew. I just didn't have the feel, you know.
Look the water over. You can read water as good as anybody.
Yeah, and so I knew. So, but we did get on them. So we came back up north, and, you know, and the first thing I let Bob out, on these fish, I've seen some big fish up shallow. So I let Bob out with his fly rod, and he changed a hook on his fly. He went to another type of weedless hook that wasn't supposed to catch grass. And boys, he's sorry he did. He side-casted two monster trout and hooked them up, and they come off on that hook, you know, on his fly rod. So he's just beside himself. He says, I can't believe I tied that hook on, you know, but these fish are in probably knee deep or less, and he got a good shot on, you know,
perfect fly rod.
Anyway, he didn't get his two big fish. He was bummed. So we got back in the boat and started throwing top water, and of course Bob's throwing his fly out of the boat, and we're catching just tons of little fish. I mean, just tons of dinks, and then boom, I pop a 5.5 on top water, you know. Well, there's still some big ones in here. Then we pop another 4 in it. Like, we caught about 6 or 7 big fish in there, but just tons of little ones. And so we dropped down to the bottom and started working plastic, caught a couple of big saddle blanket flounder. So that kind of made the day, but it just wasn't what it should have been because there were so many little fish. And I get into this time of year. So one day I go down and catch 100 little fish and catch a dozen big fish. The next day I catch 100 big fish and catch a dozen little fish. And that's the way that works, you know, and just, I mean, I covered 20, 30 miles of different areas, you know, fishing on them. That's just the way it is. And so, I pull out of there, and then I get back in the surf, catch a few fish in the surf, and I got a trip on Friday. And this is one of our good friends, one of Barry's managers. And so we get back down there, and James, James is one of the luckiest fishermen I've ever had in my boat. 2 years ago, he hooked a trout that was over 32 inches in the summer and had it right up to him. He was the guy that was trying to video this big trout slow-mo on his phone and not snapping on it with the Boga. And we get over there and we go, dude, you need to get that fish on the boat. That's a 32-inch fish. And he's messing with it, finally gets off. So he's still regretting that, you know. So he's just talking about that. We're all giving you trouble how big that big fish was, you know. So we get down there, and the big fish bite is on, man. And we get in there, and we're catching, same thing, catching little fish, but catch some 4 and 5 pounders, and caught a big red on top water, you know, and all that. And we're working. All of a sudden, I hear that sound that is just like nothing else. It's that big hollow blow up,
boy.
You know, that 30-inch fish was, he was right up really shallow. Then when he hit it, he did that sit in one spot and water and spit. It was the coolest thing. You sit there and come to the top and was shaking his head about a foot to each side and bubbling and hissing and popping and throwing out water, making all these sounds. I'm getting hot. I'm going, oh my God. So I said, everybody reel in, man, everybody reel in. And of course, James is a good fisherman. So that fish immediately went to the motor. I mean, he just knew where that motor prop was. He just hauled butt. And so James is on the front. So he runs to the back. I'd had everybody reel in, and that fish went right to the motor. And of course, James sticks his rod around the motor and gets it. And that fish took for a long time. He was so hot for a fish this time of year. I mean, this fish fought like crazy. And so I got the boga in my hand. I don't want to net him or anything. I don't want to mess him up. And he caught him on a little bitty chrome and black skitterwalk, the smallest one they make. And I'm looking at the hook. First thing I look at that big fish when it comes up is hook placement. First thing in my mind is, okay, I'm in the game here. It's just going to be one of those deals. Let's get a picture before he gets off. You know, so one of my guys is filming him in slow-mo. So we got him on slow-mo. So if we do lose him, we know how big he is because he looks really big. A 30-inch fish, I don't know what it is. They're just a different animal. You know,
I mean, hey, when they get up 28, 29, 30, it's just a whole different ball game. Let me knock his breakout. Hold that thought. I want to hear the rest of this.
All right, I'm getting excited. All right,
well, I know. Hey, me too, man. You got me going. All right. Hang on, buddy. All right. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for great A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. Check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. A full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And bulk pricing, that's available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage, along with homemade hot dogs, original and with cheddar cheese, hamburger patties, stuffed pork, tenderloins, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. Let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue block party headquarters. And check out their new Chuck Wagon patties, half pound beef patties, seasoned and loaded with cheddar cheese. And while you're there, check out their grab-and-go snacking products like beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, and dry sticks. And their wild game processing facility, it's open year-round. It never closes. And check out their new sausage recipe. It's available, and you got to try it. It's really good. And while you're at it, get some deer tamales, venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. All right, welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it is 6:20. All right, Cliff, we're back. All right, now we're talking big speckled trout.
I know, and I get so excited. I didn't even hardly sleep last night. I get this adrenaline rush when I get in those big trout.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Just like all my life, I just go, every time I get them, I'm not going to sleep the night before.
I mean, that's all I've lived for all my life is big speckled trout. There's nothing like that. I'll fish a week for one big one like that.
Oh, no. And then back to Monday, too, before I finish the story, Greg had a monster tarpon blow up on the top water on Monday. And we could see him on the screen on the side. Yeah, those tarpon are still in there. So, just a lot of exciting things this week. But I'll go back to that big fish. So, that big fish has got, we finally got this big fish around the motor, and this thing is strip and drag. I mean, this fish is hot. You saw how healthy this fish was. Strong looking fish. And this is probably, 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. We got her hooked up, and for once, Notch, my dolphin is not there.
Thank God.
Because, I know she would ate that fish when we released it, but there was nothing around release. But anyway, so that little bitty skitter walk is under her chin, right, kind of up, and then one of the front hooks has been broken off of this plug. And so she's got one little hook in the bottom of her jaw and one little hook kind of in her gill plate, but not in the gills, but kind of in her plate. And so we're playing this fish easy. I'm telling James, I said, hey, man, you got to play this fish down. She's too hot to come up to the boat. And I already messed up one time trying to net that big fish about a year ago with the net, and I ain't forgot it. That guy had that big fish on like a dummy. I stuck that net on that top water and lost it. And, I know better than that. So I don't even pick up a net, So I got my boga grip, and I'm leaned over the side, and I'm waiting for this fish to come up on its side and open its mouth, And so what I'm dealing with is that plug is right there where my hand's going to go, to snap onto it. So I only got about a quarter inch area to snap onto it. The plug's not there. And he kept coming up. I kept trying to snap. Finally, snapped on that sucker, Finally, I snapped onto it, and I left in the water for a second, And I said, I'm going to leave this fish in the water. I said, grab that board right there, that measuring stick, and wet it and wipe it off. Get it. It'll be hot. I keep it under the console where it's not hot. So,
right.
I mean, we're gonna do this real quick because we're going to get this fish back in the water because, man, we cannot kill this fish.
We need babies out of this one.
Oh, God.
Spread them genetics, man.
Yes, sir. And then when I picked this thing up, Mickey, I got that my shoulder popped. I go, that's a big one. I got that bad shoulder. That's a heavy fish. I'm used to, when I pull him over, I pull the fish over the side, that thing's had some weight on it. It had that big old giant head, big old yellow mouth, And so I'm reaching up on the boat. I'm looking, that thing's flopping around. It's almost 9 pounds. I go, oh, my God, It probably ended up a heavy 8, but that was a big, big fish, And we laid him on the board. It's right at 30 inches. Maybe a little over. So I put her back in the water real quick, and man, she swam off good, Mickey. I was so happy that we did not kill that fish, but there was never a hook inside the gills, pretty much outside, and there was a lot of current. And so when I held her in the current, the water really flowed in her mouth through her gills. And so when she swam off, she kicked her tail and took off, So I know we didn't damage her, but You talking about making the day. And then so I go up, and my good friend that I fish with a lot, Dr. Shedder Craig, is up there with his boys up on the edge, up in some really shallow water on these bars trying to catch these big trout. And they're seeing these monster trout up there shallow. And finally, Killam throws up there his son and hooks about a 27-incher. And that's, we're sitting there watching the whole thing, you know, from the boat with these guys. And that fish was hooked on the back hook, and that fish knew exactly what to do. That fish ran up to the bank and stuck that front hook in the bank and rolled over and just rolled and pulled that hook out. Like, how many times have you seen that? I mean, when you catch them like that around that grass in shallow water, you got to pull their head up out of there and get them out of there because they're going to turn back, you know. And that's what happened there. But you lost a bunch of big ones in that grass. It's you know, you're better off to throw a soft plastic with all the hooks in their mouth when you sight cast them like that, you know.
Right.
But that topwater bite like that is tough, you know, in structure and grass. You got all those hooks hanging out of the mouth. All they got to do is hit something with them and rip them out.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it just was such an exciting day on Friday, you know. And for James to catch that big fish like that, that just kind of made the day. You know, we had a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old boys in there, you know, their grandson, James's grandson. And both those boys, I cannot believe how good they fish. They're all bass fishermen. And so their father hardly ever let them watch TV or video games. They were outside of the bass ponds and stuff. So they know how to fish, man. They can throw that slug. So they caught some big reds and some nice trout. But they stuck with the topwater till 1 or 2 o'clock. We never really plastic fish. We stayed on top for the big fish, I mean, till 1 or 2 o'clock. And, Mickey, we were catching fish at 11 o'clock on topwater. It's crazy how that works. You know,
oh, I
don't
know.
Think it's just a morning thing. Man.
No, it, you know, it seems like the later we get in summer and the hotter the water gets, those middle of the day topwater bites are just incredible. I've seen it for years go on like that.
Uh-huh.
I can't explain that. Maybe there's more oxygen at that higher level. I don't know.
I don't know, but we have a super, super low tide right now. And it's just, man, you ought to see some rocks sticking up. It's just incredible. So, you know, I look back at all these times we have these super low tides. They're always in the same place. They want current and they want sand. They want that cooler sand because it's not a dark bottom. And it at night, it's cooling down. Our temperature's getting down to 72 at night in that shallow sand. So you're going to find them up in the sand, you know, close to some current where they got a little current flowing over where they can just lay in that sand and let that cool water blow over them. And that's what the same pattern is right now. But the depth of the water changes so much. You change areas just simply because of the depth of water where the fish can be. You know,
exactly.
So, anyway, it was a great week, Mick. I just stoked. And the surf fishing's going off. The surf's going off. Bob caught he sight casted a 28-inch trout yesterday in the surf. So I talked to Bob. I got to fish the jetties. And he says, I was walking with my fly rod cliff, and I'm throwing at these fish with the clouser. And I made one looks like just like Laguna shrimp. The ones you throw all the time, a fly. And I'm throwing at these big fish. They won't hit it. I go back to the truck. I put a topwater first cast, 28-incher. I got sight casted. So today I got my topwater tied on. I'm going to go sight cast some big trout in the surf. I know where they're at. So that's where I'm headed today, man.
Oh, man.
But my neighbor Wyatt, you know, Wyatt lives next door to me. He jumped.
Yeah, Wyatt Foster?
He jumped 11 tarpon yesterday and landed 8.
Wow.
I mean, this right in front here. And they were like 100 to 150 pounders. So yeah, there's just a lot of tarpon in Port Aransas and, you know, Port O'Connor stuff right now. And of course, all out in the bayfront. But I know James is getting ready to wear them out. I'm sure he's getting ready to get into those big tarpies.
You know, we're a little later up this way, you know, because a lot of fish come from south, and then some come from the east over there, Louisiana. And but boy, when they pile up off the, you know, Bolivar shoreline and the West End shoreline, you know, out deep, usually about 39 feet of water is a magic number. It gets pretty stupid out of Galveston, and some big fish too. I mean, there.
Oh, I know. What,
some giant James tarpon caught here.
Yeah, 68 or something in 3 days. Oh my God, that's a lot of tarpon, man.
Yeah, and that's and they've actually caught more than that in the past too. You know, there's been days where they've done that almost in one day. When they really get on them.
Crazy. You know, his technique's got to be just perfect, James, just to be able to land that many fish. You know, he's just a machine because, you know, I was fighting that giant fish with Barrera, and I go, man, I'm on that fish over 3 hours, but, you know, with a spinning rod. But evidently, James is, is using some tackle where he can get up, get those fish up to the boat quicker or something. I'm not sure how he does all that stuff, but that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's. I mean, your beach fishing's got to be off the chart the last few days with this calmer.
Well, it just depends on where you're at, the way these trout move up. We've got so many miles of it. You know, it's kind of like down your way. You might have to go 20 miles down the beach to find those fish again. You know,
yeah,
way they move
that's
around.
The way it is here. Yeah.
But if you're at the right place, yeah, it's good. I hadn't heard any big fish, though, coming out of the surf yet. Not to say that there hadn't been. You know, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Most people, that they're not going to mention it. They're going to keep it quiet. Yeah. Can't blame them. Loose lips, sink ships.
I know it. Well, they caught that dolphin off the Port Aransas jetty. That was the first. Did you see that?
I heard that.
That's pretty crazy. They caught a sailfish off Baw Pier one year. They caught several off there, but it's amazing how close these fish will come in.
Right.
They're catching kingfish off the jetties right now like crazy. All the jetties, you know, Packery, everywhere, they're catching big kingfish. You know, it's crazy how they make those slide lines. I don't know if you've ever seen that. They put a big rod out with a slide and put that little mullet up on top for the tarpon, and the kingfish been eating it.
And slide line, how do you rig that? What's that about?
They fish them off the piers a lot. They take a big rod and throw it out with a weight on it, and then slide a leader down with a little clothespin and down that line and let that bait dangle with another rod right on top of the water. And it's a tarpon killer, but it's also a kingfish killer. They smoke it. And that you can just see that thing dangling. I was walking on the pier one day with my wife. It's probably 15 years ago, and the guy's got that slide line. I was just watching a little mullet. You know, sitting there, like, look at that mullet, honey, sitting there dangling. All of a sudden, this big mouth comes up and just devours this big 100-pound tarpon. And I got to see the whole thing, man. It was so cool. He ate it and just smoked it, and that line took off and got to see. Of course, it jumped off, but, man, it was cool to see.
Well, that's I hooked a tarpon one time when I was a kid, waiting to surf on a mirror lure. I was kind of outmatched. I think I was about 12 years old. And this thing was freewheeling across the Gulf, headed straight to Cuba, and all my line with it. I mean, it was instant spool job on a trout rod wade fishing. That was pretty good.
It happened to me too, man. Golly, it's like that guy went down and he dropped him off with those 7 dozen croakers, and the Friday daylight, he threw it that tarp and just stripped, so he sat there for 6 hours with no line on his reel.
No line and all them croakers going to waste.
Came back and he was one short of 7 dozen. That was good stuff right there. Those tarpon will get you,
throw an extra rod in there, folks.
Oh, my God, you know. And I see why these tournament fishermen, when they, you know, get away from it, they got the extra reels in their bag or whatever. They can't afford to do that. They can't afford a breakdown like that.
No. Heck no. It, him another day, he was reeling a trout in, and porpoise, you know, a dolphin ate it. And he said he'd never seen line leave his reel that fast in all his life, man. You talk about, we had one old Tim Young. We were tarpon fishing one time. Me and him and Dana and Daryl were out of the pass, and Tim hooked a dolphin, and that thing jumped 20 feet out of the water and let out a squalling noise, and every dolphin around that shrimp boat and that rig we were fishing on for tarpon left the scene. Buddy, they were all headed across the Gulf following him. It spooled a 6-0 reel in just seconds. I said, look at that.
That is something, man.
Yeah, it was pretty bizarre.
Yeah, you were talking about the fastest fish, and I didn't know a marlin was that fast. And I thought, you know, a mako shark was fast.
No.
Yeah, and I was thinking always you'd be a mako, but it's a marlin. That is amazing.
A blue marlin is nasty.
Yeah, and people worry about trolling too fast.
No.
Yeah, right. Ain't no trolling
Wahoo,
too fast.
Marlin, you can't out-troll those. They want it coming for it. It's kind of like these trout are in redfish. If they want a lure, you don't have a fast enough ratio reel to get away from them. They're going to catch it.
That's so funny because that 30-incher, he came up and smoked it one time, kind of missed it, and turned. He was going. You could tell he was going to eat it. When he turned around that second time, boy, he smoked it.
He didn't miss it then, did he?
He didn't miss it then, man. He got it good. But I was so impressed. Those hooks just held in there like that. Man, that's the thing is, it's won and lost at those hooks. Man, you just hope it's in the right spot. You know, and the good thing is that fish didn't get that plug raked out because we had her far enough away from the structure when we got her. You know, we pulled her out pretty quick, or she'd have raked that plug off on the bottom.
Boy, and they know how to do it. It's like, you know, it's not their first rodeo, huh?
Yeah, and she knew right where that motor was, Mickey. She went right for that motor. And as soon as that fish was hooked, I told everybody, reel in, and I went over, turned the key on, and raised the motor all the way up, and you know, got everything out of the way, and told everybody, get the heck out of the way, you know, because these fish can move. This fish was moving. I mean, they can go to the front of the boat,
color
to the back.
That fish, it had that real green tint to it, and boy, you know,
he was so healthy. Just super,
beautiful,
super healthy fish.
Yeah. All right, let me knock this break out. Be right back.
All right, Mick.
All right. Well, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. When you're by the store, check them out firsthand. They have all their different bottles on display, all their different sizes, plus their regulators and diffusers. They refill there at the store. But if you need more info on it, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their no farm-raised shrimp at Boyd's. It's all wild-caught Gulf shrimp. And check out their big 912s, whatever count you're looking for. They have great price, great availability, and their Cajun Grill next door puts out some really good food at great prices, and their Santa Fe location does the same thing. So give them a call at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com, and when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:38 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back. We're talking about topwaters and blow-ups and how they try to get rid of those baits.
Yes, I think you pitched that nice snook we caught, too, down there.
Yeah, that was a pretty.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at daftgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Snook, man.
Yeah, Keelan caught that, and you know, on a Little John, and that's Dr. Greg's son. It's just super good fish. I fished those boys since they were young, and man, those guys have really
well. They know how to do it right. You broke them in right,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they just all lure fish. Don't ever bait fish, and man, they got all the right gear, all the right equipment. Got the Waterlude rods. You know, they got the really good stuff. All the bait reels. So, man, and, you know, I really got it. Say those Waterlude rods are just, I mean, most of the people in my boat now are throwing Waterlude. They make such a good equipment. It's just, man, I pick up something else and I go right back to my, and I'm throwing that Ultra. I throw a lot of different stuff, the Ultra Mag, but that Ultra Mag with topwater is it. I'm telling you, man, that just, you don't hardly have to work the tip. It's just automatic, you know, it just walks the dog. And it was funny because I'm teaching these young men how to walk the dog and they pick it up so fast. They're bass fishermen. I watch these people that work topwater. They work it so fast it jumps out of the water and gets the front hook on the line. And I say, man, drop that tip. And once you get the rhythm down, you got the rhythm. But, you know, it was funny how some days they want it straight. That day we caught the big fish, you had to pause it. You had to totally stop that sucker for like, you know, 5 seconds. And then when the next time you moved it, the toilet would flush. But if you just worked it in, they would come up behind it and boil it but wouldn't eat it. But that's funny how that, I guess they sit there and just watch it, you know. It's nuts.
It's weird how they do that. I remember years back I had a crew and we were over on the North Shoreline East Bay behind a norther, you know, a springtime norther. It was March. And we were wading that little bit of a bluff shoreline. It's kind of a deep bank between Robinson Bayou and the Leggett Ditch. And we're catching a few fish. We hadn't figured them out yet. They're in there. They're swimming around. Well, that tide started falling, and I had a guy. He waded off into the wild blue yonder, you know, way west of us down there. He's by himself, and he stood there forever. And he came back, and he said, man, there's a ton of fish down there, but I think they're all little bitty ones. I said, why don't you figure that? He said, well, they just keep coming up under my topwater and flipping it up in the air. I said, man, I've seen big fish do that. I think you're on some big ones down there. I said, you tried downsizing your topwater? Well, no. I said, let's wade down there. I put on a 7M mirror lure, and I put him a bone baby spook on, you know, a small super spook.
Right, right.
And we got down there. Hey, those big trout were coming out of that ditch, and they were hanging on that point out on the flat where it rolls off in the bay in about 4 feet of water, and we're throwing to them. And, buddy, once we got them going with those small topwaters, every fish in that school was 6 and 7 and 8 pounds. We absolutely obliterated them. We had the whole crew down there lined up. Everybody was smoking them. And it just goes to show you, you think, oh, it's a little fish. He can't eat that topwater. He's just flipping it out of the water. Well, they were just coming up and just, you know, head bumping it, knocking it up in the air and just swirling under it, you know, just idling around looking at it. And you'd throw it out there and like the 7M, I'd take it, I'd pump it, I'd let it settle, and then I'd click it in gear, then I'd pump it hard 2 times and then just let it sit and come back to the top, and they would smoke it going the other way, head first. and that little spook,
that bait, yeah.
He'd walk the dog for about 5 or 6 wags and then stop it, and then they'd, and if they missed it, I said, take it away from him. He'd start speed it up and take it away, and they'd just crush it. I mean,
that's a key too.
Yeah, make it look like a scared bait fish. You know how they'll come up to chase a bait, and they'll touch it, and the bait will take off? It catches their attention. It excites them, I guess, and they go after it.
Yeah, and they hit it hard, too. When you're moving it fast, they hit it hard.
They do.
You're talking about your 7M. So I've had that 7M in my box. I'm just too afraid to throw it. So I took it to surf last Saturday when I talked to you. It was so many sharks, I didn't throw it, man. I said,
No.
No fucker, no sharks, man.
No, if you got sharks, leave it in the box. Throw something that you can afford to lose.
But them sharks,
I got
to
digging around when we talked about that. I found one more pink 7M. I found one in my tackle room. So,
man,
guard that one with your life. I don't even think they make a pink one anymore. No.
I know it. And I look at the hooks on those things, Mickey. those hooks have seen some action on that plug.
You
They're
think?
All bent back. And
yeah,
you
know, Well, I watched you catch 50 or 60 fish on that bait that day.
Yeah, and it looks like it. You know, it's so funny because I dig around with boxes. Those are the warriors I look for. I might not get that real shiny one. I'll get that old beat up one every time, you know.
I'm telling you.
I keep a file on the boat. I just hit those old rusty hooks a little bit, you know, get them nice and sharp on the tip. And as long as I can take them with my finger, I can't break them. They're still strong. I'll use them. Now, they get so rusty, sometimes they'll break. You got to change them out. But
yeah, those are number three treble hooks. And if you can't find a mirror lure kit with the replacement hooks or the screws or any of that, just find you a mirror lure you don't like with good hooks and stuff on it and take them out and put them on that one. You bet you. Mm-hmm. What I
well,
do.
You know that. So the new ones don't really have any numbers on them. I'm noticing. I mean,
not like the old ones. Well, they should. They should have the, you know, whether it's a, you know, like a 51M, say an M, a 51M 808. That should have that number on there. And if it's a Rattler, it'll have MR 808.
MR. Okay.
Yeah.
So the one that. I got a lot too that has a nose pull, just straight nose pull, stay up on top.
That's a 51. That's a 51. That's what we wade fish with. And
okay.
The 7M's a floater, you know, with the slanted eye on the top of the head. And then
the
52's
like.
Rigged on the top of the head. The TT's on top of the head. Those are for, you know, deeper fishing. And
The TT I threw a lot, you know, but that's one of the only mirror lures I threw back when I was a kid on the
tiny trout is what that stood for.
Yeah,
tiny trout, because it always had the black dots down the flash on the side.
So what do you like in the surf? If you're gonna throw the surf,
man,
it's gonna be really calm today. It's gonna be calm and clear.
My dad, all he ever threw in the surf was a if he was out on the third bar, he'd throw a TT 28. He called it red and yellow killer fella. Matter of fact, David Brown went by Bass Pro Shops and bought a brand new one still in the box so we could lay it on his chest in his casket. We buried him with
it. Yeah, you told me that. That's really neat, man. That's
But if he was in shallow fishing, you know, like you do, the first gut and the second gut, he'd kind of wade down the first bar and fish, you know, fan his cast out and in early in the morning, and he would use a 51-28. That was the nose rig, you know, the one right out of the tip of the nose. It runs shallower.
And I got a lot of those. I may try those. Yeah. Mike sent me a bunch of those. I may try those, but I'm just so afraid to throw that other good one in the surf, unless I'm side casting. So the major bite is weird right now. It's between around 10 and noon.
Same
you know,
here.
I get a daylight.
Exactly
yeah,
the
I
same
good,
here.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a good morning bite, and then it's like lull. You know, you might have a sandwich. And
it's
then about
Dover's.
10 o'clock is Katie.
Yep.
Yes, Katie barred the door at 10 o'clock. You know,
right.
That's what Bob did. That's why he was able to sight cast those fish yesterday in the surf. The sun comes up. But, man, that guy's a great fly fisherman. When they won't hit a fly and they hit a topwater, that goes to show you they want some noise. And I think it's just those topwaters just irritate them. You know,
the old-timers, I remember when mirror lure first came out with their rattling mirror lures. You know, they put the rattles in them. Oh, they were freaking out. I said, man, they're going to scare our fish off. I said, what? I said, that's what everybody uses a popping cork for, is to make noise and attract fish with it. And, boy, that was a game changer when they come out with the rattles in them.
Mm-hmm.
Just the right rattle tone. Kind of like when, you know, the red fins and the straight back and the broken backs had the rattles in them. That's when they were the best. Then they took them out.
Oh,
I had to start drilling holes. And my straight backs up, you know, underneath the head, the throat area, and putting BBs in there and then putting the lead tape over it, you know, to seal it off, you know. I said, man, it just, I don't know. I think
if it ain't broke, just, don't fix it.
They look how they ruined the jumping minnow.
Yes, they
totally
did. All
destroyed
that, weird
that
paint.
Bait. Yeah. Sure, the paint comes off. Then I got a nice bone jumping minnow. It doesn't matter.
Oh, minnow works good.
Come
you know?
On, man.
But yeah, look at Paul Brown when he put the rattlers in the Corkies.
Oh yeah. I was just fixing to bring that up.
Yes, man. And so the first ones he started out with were these big glass rattlers. They were so loud, but they were so good. But when a big trout bit them, they broke the rattler.
Right,
they
break the glass, yeah.
And so he switched rattlers. I still have some of those old ones. You talk about a smoker, Bubba. Oh, my
God. Yeah.
They kill it. But all the different types of rattlers they used to use. But now those corgis. And it really changed the sink rate of the baits. You know, so you had to kind of rework everything. And I still got hundreds of the old ones that don't have any, you know, rattlers in them. And they float so perfect. And, you know, when I'm sight casting fish, I love those ones that don't have a rattler. They sink so slow. And, you know, I got to change the hooks out.
And y'all salty water down there, too, has a big, big difference in it, too. Because it makes that bait way more buoyant in that salty water.
Definitely.
Up here, we got a lot of fresh water in Corky. You know, it'll sink good when you get salinities, you know, 12 parts per thousands or less. You get a good sink rate out of those Corkies up here.
Yeah, they work different here than doing Port Aransas. When I took them up with Jay that time and fished up in Rockport and Port Aransas, I'm going, my God, I'm having to keep a real high rod tip to keep these Corkies off these oyster shells. I was throwing up in these little potholes up in the oyster shells, and they were just smoking them, man. those Corkies. But man, if you didn't keep a high rod tip that would get down into an oyster shell, or cut it off. But
you'd break it off, man.
Yeah, but that high rod tip twitch would still work it. And Jay was amazed how good they ate those things on the reef. He was just couldn't believe it.
Oh man!
The first time I took Corkies over there, like 30 something years ago, back in Rockport, they had never seen those Corkies. Oh my God, it was like stupid good, man. I think Jay was hooked forever on Corkies after that. He just, man, he's a master of Corkies now, man.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he is good.
He's kind of good, man.
Yeah, and you know, Bubba, what he's done, too, is he's improved the bait by better hardware, him and Low Odom.
Right.
He's really proved that bait by better hardware, you know. And that is,
well,
you know,
that's the key is you don't want to ruin the action of that bait. With the wrong hardware, you got to have the right hooks and split rings, or you'll kill the way that bait's designed to work, you know. And
exactly right.
They've done it right.
Yeah,
Now I used to tweak and change them up a little bit, especially over at Sabine Lake. I started using a Mustad triple grip hook I'd put on the front, so I could get a better sink rate over there when we were having to throw out off those deep ledges into deeper water. Those fish had. They'd move in and move out, but, you know, along some of those shorelines with those ledges and drop-offs, you'd have a deep clamshell bed out there that those big trout would lay up on, and you had to get down to them. And I hate waiting 3 days for a lure to get down where I want it to, and we started using the heavier triple grip hooks on the head of them, and, oh, man, it made all the difference in the world on catching some monster trout over there with them.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm throwing, that little bitty super spook, that baby super spook, that little bitty one. Mike sent us some of those, I think they're stingers. Those hooks are real heavy, and they're heavy. They're big, thick hooks. And I'll take take that little one off that front and put that little heavier hook, and that little bait almost, instead of sticking nose up, it almost lays flat. And you can lower your rod tip and barely twitch it, and it moves about 6 inches to the side instead of an inch, it moves 6 inches to the side. Makes it wag better, and you can work it real slow. And the good thing is, if they get that front hook, I feel confident I'm going to get him. If I can wait long enough for him to close his mouth, this is what happens. I get the blow up, and I get excited, and I jerk it, and they don't let him close his mouth, you know. But if I just wait and let him close his mouth, I'll usually get him, you know.
It's called good old seasoned fisherman's pause, baby. You know.
Yeah.
Let him have it.
Yes, and it's so, you know, I tell everybody, I says, you know, when you see that blow up, I said, first thing you look, is that plug still there, or do you feel anything? I said, if the plug's still there, don't jerk it. You know, this is hard to concentrate, you know.
I try to get my guys, don't even look at your lure when you're working it. Well, how do we know we're working it right? I said, well, you should be. You've walked the dog a million times. You know that lure's what it's doing. Just look away from it and don't set the hook. If you hear the blow up and you don't feel it, don't set the hook. Wait till you feel it and then get on him. Let him have it.
I love when you're looking at someone else's plug and they're working that big old silver roll under it and they didn't see it. And I said, get ready. And I go, what? They turn around, look at me, and they look away from the plug. And boom. And I said, you know, if you'd have been looking at that plug, you'd have missed that fish. But I said, get ready. And they go, what?
I've been watching people working a lure, you know, a topwater, and while I'm fishing next to them, and I'm watching their bait while I'm working mine, and they'll get a blow up, and I'll set the hook.
Hey, I fished at night one day, and we're all sitting in a roll at night. We can't see nothing. We're so stupid. We're out there in the middle of the rocks, and everybody get a blow up, and all three of them jerk. You don't know who's got it, you know? No, it's me, you know? But I can't stay awake at night anymore. My night fishing days are kind of over, you know? I can fish real early. I get up at 3 or so, but that, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, I'm starting to doze, man. It's different now.
My schedule's so screwed up, man. That's what I'll do is night fish before I come in here and do a show.
Yeah, you're already a werewolf anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's strange. Strange
times. But you're seeing the pattern. You're seeing the pattern now, Mickey, where a lot of these big trophy trout are caught at night. These guys are really hardcore.
Right.
You know, the heavy hitter guys that catch all these big fish, there's some really great trout fishing.
Well, look at Jim Wallace. He fished more at night than he did in the daytime.
Yes.
He'd wait all night catching them big trout, man.
I'd pull up there at daylight, and he was on his, like, third thermos of coffee. He was like, God almighty, you know? He was a fishing machine, man.
Fish all night. Hey, this is a good time of year to do it. Fish all night and sleep all day.
Yes, it is.
Turn that AC down, get it, you know,
meat locker cold,
and pull up the covers. Get on with it.
Well, you know what happens to me, Mickey? That adrenaline starts running, and after I catch those big trout, I'm so fired up, I can't sleep. It's just,
I know.
It's been that way all my life. I just can't do it, man. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Well, it's like when I come down there to fish with you. I mean, I might as well not even go to bed. I'll get down there, and I'm all fired up, man. First day we're going to fish, and I'm thinking about all these big trout, and I can't go to sleep, man. It just, and usually the first day fishing with you, I'm a zombie.
About
1 or 2 hour nap, and oh, man.
Well, this year you woke up and looked at the 40-mile-an-hour wind and went back to bed. This is the worst wind year. I lost a lot of the spring
because
of my back injury. Yeah, I lost a lot of the early spring because my back hurt so bad I couldn't fish, had to cancel trip. And then the wind blew all the way through July. Stupid. So this
it
is a
did.
crazy year.
Well, look what you're doing now. Hey, you're making up for lost time, brother.
I'm trying, buddy. I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
All right, Cliff. Well, hey, nail you a big one in the surf this morning. Send me a picture of it.
I'm going to try, Bubba. I'm going to get out.
Somebody wants to call you about coming down and catching a big one. How they get a hold of you, man?
All right, Mick. I'm at area code 361-949-0707. Appreciate you having me on,
buddy.
Mick. Have a good weekend, guys.
All right. Go get your toes wet. See you, man.
All right, Bubba. Thanks, man.
Later. All right. All right, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.